Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message that Tom Jobe recorded for our Easter Sunday morning service, which of course went online, for April 12th, 2020, from John chapter 20. Happy Easter, everyone.
A lot of you know we live down in Oliver Springs, kind of in the country, and there's a road that I run down, the road in front of my house that I go running every day. And so after about a quarter of a mile, it starts to go into the woods, and there's about a third of the mile in the woods. And a lot of times I run like early in the morning, like maybe 5 o'clock. And when it's super dark in the woods, if you hear anything or see anything, I always think it's something creepy or something scary. One morning I was running, it might have been about a quarter to five, and I started going into the woods, and it was super dark, and I saw two little lights right in front of me, and they looked just like eyeballs looking at me, and I stopped, and I thought, it's a bobcat, because I had seen a bobcat like a few nights before that cross the street. It's that bobcat. It's going to scratch my eyeballs out. And so I clapped my hands and it didn't run away. And I thought, well, a bobcat would have run away. And then I thought, it's a dog. It's a gigantic dog. Or it's one of those little things. I think it's in Star Wars where they're wearing like a bathrobe and you can't see their face. And there's just two little eyeballs shining at you. It's one of them. And I got closer and closer. And I realized it was weird. It was two lightning bugs, like laying on the road. And they weren't flashing. They were just, their light was on. And I know that's all about lightning bugs. You know, they're flashing. It's all about mating and all that. And I thought, well, maybe it was just a couple of lightning bugs that, you know, they had found true love during the night and just turned off the flashing feature. Or maybe they had had a big night in the woods and they just fell asleep in the road with the lights on. But it was a bug. You know, it wasn't anything to be afraid of. Here's my formula. Intuition, which intuition means just seeing something or hearing something, plus interpretation leads to imagination. Usually it's in the dark, you see something and you wind up imagining that it's something scary. There are some places in the Gospels where people saw something and then they interpreted it and imagined something scary that wasn't scary at all. There was a man, an older man named Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, who got to do the daily chores. For people in his kind of family, it was an opportunity that came once in a lifetime, but he got to do the daily chores in a really holy part of the temple. It wasn't the most holy part because nobody could go in there except for one person once a year, but it was in the holy part, and there were a lot of chores to do in there, and he was in there doing them, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to him. It was the angel Gabriel, and he got terrified and he thought, an angel. I mean, I guess angels are probably scary. They're probably like 9 feet tall. It says in the book of Hebrews that God can turn his servants into flames, and maybe they just combust like, you know, Jack in The Incredibles. So they probably are kind of scary, but he got super scary. He saw an angel and his immediate imagination was something bad is happening. And the angel said, no, something wonderful is happening. Something good is happening to you. And I've come here to tell you. You know, there's a place in Mark chapter 6 where Jesus told his, you know, his friends, like his guys that were following him. It was at the end of the day, getting dark, and he told them to get into a boat and row across the Sea of Galilee, which was a scary thing for them because they didn't like to be out on that sea at night. But they were rowing, and they really weren't getting very far because the winds were against them. And late into the night, Jesus went out to them, like totally walking on the surface of the water, and just to give them encouragement. And Mark said he was just about to pass by them, kind of like he was messing with them, like he was just going to wave to them. What's up, guys? We're good. It was kind of Jesus had been a little bit kind of messing with people that whole day. Right before this, they had had that episode where they had thousands of people and they didn't have enough food, like a food shortage. There wasn't enough bread for all the people. Could you imagine going in to the Kroger's and there's not enough bread? There's not even any flour. I don't know what people are going to do with all this flour. I mean, Tina and I have been watching the Great British Baking Show. And I mean, baking's harder than people think it is, especially if there's that guy with the salt and pepper goatee who says, it's really not quite moist enough, is it? And you're just like, dude, they're doing the best they can. But Jesus asked one of his guys, hey, where are we going to get bread for all these people? He knew what he was going to do. He was just kind of messing with them a little bit. But anyway, as soon as they saw him walking on the water, they said, okay, they intuited, and then they interpreted, and then they imagined, it's a ghost. Usually people thought about a ghost as being someone who comes back to the dead to get back at you for something. It's a ghost. He's come to get us. And Jesus said, guys, it's me. I've come to give to you. I just wanted to give you some encouragement. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist, whose job it said was to go before Jesus and prepare the way for him. And he had been arrested and he was sheltered in place in the dark, isolated in prison. And he was thinking, he's left me. He's forgotten about me. And he's just left me here in this prison. And he sent some of his friends to ask Jesus about kind of what's up. And Jesus did some really Messiah things right there, healed some people and other things, and told the friends to go back and tell John that, well, he quoted this beautiful verse from Micah chapter 3. And said that John was the one who was going to prepare the way for me. I want you to tell John, I haven't forgotten about him. I'm right behind him. So one saw an angel and thought something bad is happening, when something good was happening. Some folks saw Jesus in the dark and thought, he's a ghost who's come to get us. But he had come to give to him. And a guy in the dark in a prison thought, he's left me. But he was right behind him. So in Mark chapter 16, on that very first Sunday, after they had laid Jesus in that tomb, and some women, three women, went out to the tomb early, early in the morning. At dawn, Mark said. John said it was still dark. And that gigantic 2-ton stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away. And there was an angel sitting on top of it. And it said he looked like lightning. And they saw an angel. And they immediately thought, something bad has happened. And the angel said to them, no, something very, very good is happening. You see, Jesus, who was crucified, he isn't here, he's risen, just like he said he would. Go and tell his friends and Peter that he's gone ahead of them into Galilee. They'll see him there. And they're going to have a whole new start. They saw an angel and thought something bad was happening, but something very good was happening. Well, later that evening, they were all kind of together, hiding out in one particular house, and they were afraid. And Luke said, Jesus all of a sudden appeared, risen from the dead, right in the middle of them. And they thought, it's a ghost. Again, the ghost thing. And they said, we ran away like a bunch of babies. When he needed us most, he's come to get us. And Jesus said, guys, I'm not a ghost who's come to get you. It's me. Look at the holes in my hand. Look at the holes in my feet. I haven't come to hurt you. I let them hurt me for you. I've come to help you. I haven't come to get you. I gave my life for you. And I live to tell you about it. And I'm going to give you everything you need to get through this. Earlier that morning, John chapter 20, the other women ran away. Mary Magdalene stayed. And she was weeping. And the angel said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." And she thought Jesus had left her. She was a woman who had had, her life had been negatively conditioned by the presence of demonic forces. And she had found safety in the presence of Jesus. And she thought Jesus had left her. And Jesus, risen from the dead, spoke. And John said she turned around. He hadn't left her. He was right behind her. And she said, "If you've taken him," she didn't know who he was, "if you've taken him, just tell me." And Jesus said, "Mary." And she said to him, "Rabboni." He hadn't left her. He was right behind her. And he would be in front of her, beside her, within her, and behind her. From that day forever. There is an awesome place right in the middle of the book of Romans where Paul said, you know, and you think about it, like with everything that we're going through now and just and all of this, there's a place where Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, he said, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." And it seems like, you know, with everything and the fear and the loneliness and the sickness and it just feels like overwhelmingly something bad is happening. But Paul said, you can know this for you and me who love Jesus. Something good is happening in ways we can't maybe fully understand. God is doing things in us that are good, that wouldn't happen in any other way. It's not that something bad's happening. Something good is happening. And sometimes a person might think, you know, I just feel like maybe in all of this, God's out to get me. And Paul said, nope. He said, no. He's not here to get you. He's here to give to you. He's going to give you everything you're going to need to get through this. He said, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? God the Father has given the greatest, the hardest, the most precious thing that he had to give for you, his own beloved son. Jesus gave his life for you, and he's alive today. He's not here to get you. He's here to give you and me everything we need to get through this. Sometimes a person might think, I kind of feel like I've been left. I kind of feel like Jesus has left me. And Paul said, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor coronavirus, nor any created thing can ever separate us from the love of Christ, God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He hadn't left you. He's right in front of you. He's right beside you. He's right behind you. And he'll be with you the whole time. Just imagine that. Hey, folks, before we go, I just wanted to add one final thing. These are really uncertain times. And we all have a lot of questions. Like, how long are we going to have to be practicing social distancing? I can't even say it. I am doing it, but I can barely say it. Am I going to get it? I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to. I've washed my hands a million times a day. Am I going to get it? And even really from our part, we're a little bit uncertain about who's watching this. Like maybe somebody's watching that we don't even know. And I thought, in uncertain times, it would be super beautiful to be certain about things that really matter. Like on this Easter morning, to be certain that you know that you have accepted the gift that Jesus died and rose from the dead to give you. Because the message of Easter is this, that Almighty God became a human being, a human baby, and he grew. And he came to teach us how to live, to show us how to live. Nobody's ever followed his teachings or his example. And he primarily came to pay for all the mess that I've made, all the mess that you've made, all the wrong we've done, all the polluted heart that we have. And when he died in that horrible way, he paid for all of it. And he rose from the dead. And he's alive today. And he offers to whoever wants it a gift of a complete forgiveness of everything you've ever done, do, or will do. A new start, a new heart, a place in God's family, and a place in his home forever. And you don't have to do anything to receive it. Like, you don't have to, like, walk down the aisle of a church. In fact, today, you kind of couldn't. All you have to do is to say to him, I need this gift. I want this gift. I'll take this gift. And you can know that from this day forward, you are clean. You are living in his love. And when this life is over, you'll be in a place where your heart will know, I'm finally home. And this could be for you the most beautiful Easter. Maybe the weirdest one, but the most beautiful Easter you've ever had. Hey, we love y'all. Happy Easter, everyone.
I am lost. I know not where I run or where I walk. Been strung out on this road for far too long. I am lost. And I am low. Where did all the joy inside me go? I'm out here all alone, I'm in the cold. Direction, I need love, I need protection, I am low. I am found. My Savior picked me up, turned me around. called my name, that captivating sound. I am found. I am found. I am found.
One, two, three, four.
You did not what I do. Made me new. And I am shame. My old life is up and gone away. Even when I feel and look the same, I am shame. Because I have a Savior in all my to pay for, I am shame. Because I have a Savior and all my sins are paid for, I am shame. And I am new. No matter what I've done or what I do, although I keep forgetting that it's chosen. I am yours. You bought me, I am broken, but it's me that you have chosen. Thought all hope was lost. You took my debt away, you paid my cost at the cross. I am free, not the man you once knew me to be. You cut my chains unbound, my hands. Love me, you're my Father, you're my bread and living water, I am free. You love me, you're my Father, you're my bread and living water, I am free. You love us, you're our Father, we are sons and we are daughters, we are